Blog Talk Radio.
You're here till 7:30. What time are you leaving? From the recall of 15 to the last dying gas of the liberal machine, and broadcasting from a small, primitive, highly hidden Civil War era single wide trailer. Yeah, they had single wide trailers during the Civil War. Kelly here, and today is the 10th of March, and we've got our own version of March Madness here in the city. We've got a recall going on. I got Jeff Isbell here. By the way, it is at 6:07. It's 37 degrees, so it's pretty nice out there. Let me give you some headlines before we go and start talking to Jeff Isbell about this recall, this bloody recall, this recall that is it on or is it off recall? We're going to have to find out about from the guy that's running everything. And got some headlines for you, local, regional, national, international, whatever catches the eye here. And I'm just bringing up the Cruces Sun News site as well so we don't miss anything in our lovely town, in our beautiful Pulitzer Prize winning paper. All right, so more and more negative publicity for Hillary Clinton. And she's going to be announcing her run in weeks. In the meantime, while Hillary has said she's defending women, others who have been on the receiving end of the Clinton brand of justice say that she is the war on women. And it's kind of interesting. looks like we're headed back into Clinton scandal land. But I got not only Jeff Isbell here, but I got Steve Pierce is going to be coming on. And we're going to probably spend a little bit of time discussing this whole return to scandal theme. And I got to tell you, it is pretty amazing how the Clintons seem to create their own scandals. It's extraordinary. They're self-contained. They don't need anybody's help. It's Hillary Clinton. When she started at the State Department, she bought a website and she got servers for the website that were located in her hometown, undoubtedly in her house, so that all of the information in the Clinton webs of the Clinton emails was and probably still is in that server, in probably in her bedroom. Is that extraordinary or not? And then she's got Lanny Davis going around saying she didn't do one thing wrong. Could you imagine if everybody in the government had their own email server in their bedroom? Obama has said that he never knew about it. He found out about it at the exact same time as everybody else, which was sitting on his couch, I guess during a basketball game. And despite this, I said yesterday to you, if you recall, that would be impossible. Imagine this. Let's say you received an email from the president, the vice president, the secretary of commerce, the secretary of treasury or defense, and you realized that it was not coming from a government website. The first thing that you would have to think to yourself is this legitimate? I mean, the first thing that would come to mind is there's somebody who's gotten into the system who's trying to fool people. Of course, not only did Obama know, he knew instantly. So it's more lies. And if you love this president, you might not think it's no big deal to lie to people because he's fighting the man, even though he is the man. He's fighting the power, even though he represents the greatest power in the history of the world. He's fighting racism or the powers of whatever, however you want to spin this thing out there, whatever it is, it's illegitimate. Your defense of this guy is going to be illegitimate because it's not really going to come out and explain things as they are. You cannot be the biggest rebel and also lead the nation. It's just impossible. You get to pick one or the other, you know. I know that people on the right got sick of the president a long time ago, but doesn't anybody on the left get sick of this guy and get sick of Hillary? I mean, are the standards so low on the left that you have to just take what you can get and then pretend that it's the greatest thing that's ever happened? Remember when Obama came in and everybody was saying he was the greatest mind in history, greatest speaker in history, and he's reading like a robot off of these sandwich boards, and when they get turned off, it's just a complete car wreck. But of course, he's as great as Cicero, as Demosthenes, as great a speaker as Lincoln or Reagan or fill in the blank, you know, Churchill. All right, so Hillary's getting challenged, and we've got, in the meantime, this various troubling areas in the world. We've got problems in Iran. The Republicans are warning Iran that live it up now because we're going to cancel this deal, which they have every right to do, which Tehran called it a propaganda attack. Newspapers moving away from page one stories, and they're most of these papers are figuring out how to survive online or they're going to die. And that includes the New York Times and the LA Times. Some other stories. Tim Tebow looking to come back. They say his throwing motion has been purified. And he's looking fantastic, and he wants to get back in the big game as a quarterback. And you've got to admire that. Poisoning dogs at dog shows, interesting enough. There is a University of North Carolina professor saying, get ready, because this country is getting a color change. You've got so many immigrants coming in, not just from South America, but also from across the world, including Muslim countries. So many people are coming in, dark-skinned people, that America is going to be predominantly dark-skinned before you know it, or darker-skinned. all right, KRQE, New Mexico High Court ruling, all entities must report child abuse. All residents are required by law to report suspected child abuse. The ruling reverses a 2013 decision that by the State Court of Appeals that limited who was responsible to report such allegations. And that's good news, isn't it? It comes out of an Albuquerque case. A man was charged with sexually abusing his minor daughter. He had a counseling session with a licensed social worker, and they are protecting, obviously, the name of the child, but there was Bernalillo County District Court decision granting an order to prevent the man's social worker and ex-wife from disclosing to law enforcement this. So they're turning that over. So I take it it'll make it probably harder to open up to your therapist, but a lot safer for kids in New Mexico. We have a State of the Union, State of the County speech from Billy Garrett, who looks like the cat who ate the canary on the front of the Sun News. And he made a case for how a tax increase will help the county. This is in spite of the fact that we're not running at a deficit. We're running at a surplus. And Jeff Isbell is shaking his head. We're going to get to of course, Ben Ross, and if you have been listening to the station, his new Rossin report, he's going to make a basic statement about something that he wants you to think about in the county each week, and we'll be playing that during the daily shows here, and then we're going to get him on once a week and talk to him. In the meantime, a protest against embattled, who they call embattled Dunya, Anti-County Treasurer David Gutierrez, who's got a real handsome picture in the Sun News, and going to be protesting from 8 to 9 a.m. Tuesday. Bring your own bagels. And at 845 North Motel Boulevard, protest was organized by former Las Cruces City Councilor Dolores Connor, who's just on this show, aims, quote, to support the victim and let Mr. Gutierrez know he should resign his position. And last August, he offered $1,000 to a lady that worked for him to go reconnoiter in a local hotel and have a little bit of fun, a few drinks, throw back a few libations. And didn't go over too well, I have to tell you that. All right, so we'll get back to other stories. For anything else that you may want to hear about. Well, listen, let's take a little break here, Kelly O'Connell. We're going through the history of country music, the greatest figures, a little bit from each one, each 20 of the top country music superstars. San Antonio Rose, live from Bob Wills and his Texas Playboys. An unbelievable talent, Bob Wills. And Willie Nelson was in his band. And Willie Nelson said when you met Bob Wills, he said his charisma was so strong it just kind of stunned you. So anyway, Kelly O'Connell, 617-523-1450 to call in. And we're going to talk to Jeff Isbell when we come back about the state of the recall. Forget the state of the county. We'll be right back.
San Antonio Rose!
Bob Wills' San Antonio Rose sold nearly 2 million records. And today, over the great radio networks, the lovable melodies go out to cities and villages, farms and mansions.
Right now, buy any Samsung Galaxy smartphone for zero down and get a free Samsung Galaxy tablet. Pretty neat, huh? Only at AT&T.
It's Kelly here, and yes, there's a lot going on around the world, but hey, there's some exciting stuff going on in the city of Las Cruces in the county of Doña Ana right now. And I was recently informed to put a Y on my Doña Ana pronunciation or to shut my pie hole. So anyway, I got Jeff Esbell here, and Jeff, people are wondering, what is the state of the recall?
Well, I think everyone read in the paper this weekend that we did hit some hurdles, and these that they are exactly that. They are hurdles, and we are doing everything we can to look at the feasibility of moving forward. We're less than 100 signatures short in Gil Sorg's district, about 150 signatures short in Nathan Small's district. So right now, we're laying the groundwork, seeing if there's still enough interest out there to move forward. And it looks like we're going to move forward with a recall for these individuals. We have about 15 days, 12 days left now, I guess, to make that decision. And
well, what about a KGB girl, Pedroza?
Olga Pedroza, we've got, there was a couple hundred signatures thrown out. So we're going to do all we can at this point to identify people who are willing to sign. So I'm here today to make a plea. If you are interested in signing our recall petition, visit our website at lcrecall.com. This is if you haven't already signed, or call us at 575-201-3084. But the things that are going on in the city and the county right now, you know, Kelly, you just talked about the county chairman highlighting his tax increases and how he's going to spend that money before they've even voted on it. $12.3 million, I believe, to replace $100,000 in losses. It's things like that that have to tell you now is the time to stand up. We have to send a message loud and clear to the radical progressives who are controlling this county, this city, this region, and say enough is enough. In November, we saw unprecedented wins with conservatives beating CAFE's candidates, the Progressive Voter Alliance's candidates, electing people like Rick Little and Terry McMillan, and we need to continue that here at the city level and at the county level.
All right. So, I mean, what difference, let me be honest here. There's a lot of people, maybe even some of the listeners who say to themselves, why should I get off the couch to get involved in any of this? It's going to be more of the same. What difference does it make who's in office?
Well, I think it absolutely makes a huge difference. If you have a pet, the city council just voted to make you pay a pet tax of up to $50 per year per pet, plus an application fee. That's just for owning pets. So they're making it difficult on people just to live in Las Cruces. They're spending money like crazy over at Young Park. They're spending $450,000 on 7 new toilets, about $65,000 per toilet. And it's all because they've raised our cost of living here in Las Cruces by raising taxes. The county looks like they're going to follow suit. So it's very important that we get off the couch and we do something right now before it's too late.
Wait a second. We got to have toilets that flush.
Well, we can go down to the Lowe's and pick up a toilet that flushes for a couple $100.
All right. So you're telling me that they're spending how much on outdoor toilets?
$65,000 a toilet, roughly. $450,000 on 7 toilets and bathroom facilities because there was a vandalism to the last one. They got an insurance check of about $7,000 to replace the building.
Did somebody flush an M80 down the toilet or what?
Who knows? We know there's fear right now that the new bathrooms are going to be vandalized and all that sort of stuff, which is always a fear.
Are they terrorist-proof toilets? Are they green toilets? Why do you need to spend as much for a toilet as a house?
As a very big house, as a very nice house, several standard family homes, $450,000 on 7 toilets. It's things like this that have went unchecked for far too long, and we're here to tell the radical progressives who control Las Cruces, especially these 3 city councilors, that enough is enough. We need fiscal responsibility restored to city and county government because they operate with the people's money, and the people are tired of throwing money to projects like this.
Seriously, what do you get for $63,000 when it comes to toilets?
The Rolls Royce of toilets.
Does it have a padded seat? Is it heated? Does it have a DVD player in there?
For $65,000, it ought to drive you around.
Well, that would be a good use of the city's excrement, I guess.
I wonder who got the contract for those $450,000.
Why don't we find out?
$450,000.
Why don't we find out? We need to talk to Ben Rawson about this.
I mean, $450,000 on 7 toilets over at Young Park. I understand. I'm completely behind making our parks as nice as possible. But $450,000, $500,000 on 7 new toilets?
I've got to ask you, I think one of the problems that people have with the progressive movement is they seem to be spending as much money as they possibly can. I mean, maybe I'm missing out something here, but it just seems to me that they're the goals of the progressive movement is to spend as much money as they can. I don't really understand that.
Well, you take our county, for instance, and the county chairman, who is proposing a 0.375% sales tax increase. So you add that to what the city councilors passed this past July. So it's going to be 0.75% within the city limits of Las Cruces. He's replacing $100,000 a year that was lost from the state of New Mexico with $12.3 million in new tax revenue from this tax increase per year. So they can, as he states, get beyond just getting by.
I've got a clip of him right here.
County Manager Julia Brown outlined 5 areas in the county in
Or maybe it's Julia Brown, the county manager. Well, I don't want to hear the county manager, but there is a reason that these guys are doing this. I'm going to save this clip for a rainy day, but I don't understand this idea that was told to me off the record that they had actually heard one of the county commissioners say, we need to spend the people's money. It was that we got this $100 million windfall and we have to spend it. I don't understand that if you have a rainy day fund, spending it before the rainy day shows up.
Well, that's right. Where we stand right now is we need people that will just say, honestly, enough is enough. People that will get mad over these radical progressives spending their hard-earned dollars. People that will get mad over them spending money, $450,000 on toilets. It is time to rise up and say enough is enough, and we can do that through this recall process. We're not whining. We should be complaining. But we have an opportunity here as citizens to really do something about it. This is greater than anything that we've done as of yet. I tend to believe this is greater than our elections in November. We can send a strong message here, loud and clear, to the radical agenda that here we are, and yes, we are willing to stand.
A short, sharp shock, is that what you're looking to deliver?
Absolutely.
All right, so when people say we need this tax increase, what do you say?
Well, haven't we been taxed enough already?
Well, here is, I'm going to relent here and play a little bit of Billy Garrett. By the way, you say, I look at Billy Garrett, I see a guy maybe a little bit older that's wearing an earring. He's got to be with it. You know, he's wearing an earring, Jeff. He is with it. He's not one of these old politicians that was wearing horn-rimmed glasses and trying to, you know, defend, the gold standard or something.
Well, I guess progressivism comes in all shapes and sizes, Kelly.
Well, I guess so. Here's a little Billy Garrett, and he is, I think, in his prime here. Check this out.
An immediate need.
We tended to be using the reserves as a way of cushioning the difference between projected revenues and expenses. But I think that we could be much more purposeful. And a good example, as I suggested today, is that I don't think we need to wait until FY16 in order to begin to increase the replacement of the Sheriff's Department vehicles.
All right, so there's a few implications there. Number one, all of the spending has been to meet shortfalls. In other words, there's a systemic failure here. They've got to bring this payment in. And number one, and number two, the reason that the county's Sheriff's Department has not had the proper equipment is apparently a lack of funding. I don't know. I mean, I find it confusing, and yet I'm looking at the guy. He's got a big gold earring. I mean, how about this, Jeff? Billy Garrett is the Michael Jordan of county commissioners. Do you accept that? You're from originally from Illinois.
I think Michael Jordan would probably be a little offended at that.
Well, okay. I'm struggling for metaphors here. Anyway, I've got a little bit of news, local news for you. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in. Got F. Jeff Isbell here. Jeff Isbell is saying that there's an outrageous amount of malfeasance, if you will, stupidity, wrong-headed decisions that are being made out there, and we need a recall of the city councilors, and the county commission ain't much better. We'll be right back at 6:33. Kelly O'Connell Show, KOBE, 523-1450 to call in. We'll be right back. Kelly here. I got Jeff Isbell. And, folks, we got a recall of the city council. Jeff, what are the failures of the city council that you'd like to trot out here?
Well, I think first and foremost, they have lied to their constituents, Olga Pedroza, Gil Sorg. They went door to door collecting signatures on an initiative petition to call for a higher minimum wage. It was never about the minimum wage. It was a political ploy. They used their position.
Why do you say that?
They used their position for a political agenda to increase voter turnout in November, this past November, which I'm okay with.
Why do you say that?
If that's what you're saying.
Jeff, why do you say they lied?
Well, they lied because they went door to door collecting signatures saying, I care about you, I want to raise the minimum wage, and then they voted against the very thing that they were advocating for, because it wasn't about approving a higher minimum wage.
What was it about?
It was about getting their people out to the polls to vote, which, once again, I'm okay with if that's what your intent is all along. But don't hide a political agenda behind saying, I care for you.
523-1450. And, all right, so we saw that Nathan, Please Don't Call Me Tiny Small, was on the run. And he waffled a little bit. He folded in the eye of the storm, Jeff.
Well, that
changed his vote.
That's right. I think one of the interesting things that we saw through this recall process is that the progressive radicals have essentially given up on Nathan Small. So they went door to door to the very people we collected signatures from. They went door to door. They were given our petition sheets from the county clerk before, from the city clerk before she was even done validating. And Peter Goodman and his band of progressive radicals went door to door intimidating people. We're now getting word and emails from folks that they felt intimidated and coerced to sign a sheet of paper saying, yes, I want to recant my signature. Interesting enough.
Really?
Interesting enough, that happened in Olga Pedroza's district, Gil Sorg's district, but not, there was not one single form letter filed in Nathan Small's district to recant any signatures that was signed. One person said that she was going door to door as a volunteer for Gil Sorg. The gentleman said that he felt coerced and intimidated by her actions in trying to get him to sign a letter saying that us recall organizers were engaged in fraudulent activity.
Did anybody feel intimidated by the Peter Goodman group?
Yeah, well, that's, they're all hand in hand. They filed the same form letter saying, I wish to recant my signature because I felt as if it was obtained under fraudulent measure, fraudulent or misleading measures, I believe they said. And so in Gil Sorg's group, nearly 20 people, only 20 people out of about 1,700 people that signed the petition filed this form with the city clerk's office, about 40 people in Olga Pedroza's district, and not one single person in Nathan Small's district said, I want to recant my signature. So, Kelly, let me ask you, were we really engaged in fraudulent activity as they claimed we were when we were going door to door? Or are these form letters and them saying this all just a part of their ploy to smear us?
That's a good question.
Because nobody in Nathan Small's district said, oh, yeah, they misled me. Not one single person. But yet we have form letters from the other two districts where they went door to door, and that's all that was obtained. Nobody wrote into the city clerk's office on their own will. It was just these form letters that were filed with the city clerk saying, yeah, I want to remove my signature.
Huh.
So lots of shenanigans at play, Kelly.
Interesting. 523-1450 if you have an opinion on this. Let's get a little more San Antonio Rose here live. Bob Wills talking to Jeff Isbell about the recall efforts. And Bob Wills is one of the most talented players of the 40s and 50s. Little more San Antonio Rose. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 at 640, 641, and on KOB. We'll be right back. We got a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Patty Riley.
Patty Riley, citizen journalist. How's it going?
Well, I'm pretty sickened. I have a question.
Yes.
He said that they went and got the addresses of the people. They got some addresses from the clerk, city clerks, to go and harass these people to recant.
That's right.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay, is that legal?
That's the first question that came to my mind. I have no idea if it's legal.
We need to look at the city charter on that one. That's ridiculous, for one. Okay, I've got something else, too. Agenda 21, it was AmericanPolicy.org. He has ICLEI. It's run by the Rockefellers.
Well, ICLEI is the is this a national or international?
It's the Rockefeller Initiative, is what it is.
Talk over me. ICLEI is a collection of cities that is international that we were signed into, I believe, by Ken Miyagashima. But ICLEI is how they apply Agenda 21 standards.
And they give them money, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, and then. Didn't the mayor say in his state of the city address that we were only $7 million in the black, that he was really proud of himself? Doesn't it seem to you all that it would be a lot more than that to be really parading the city for their good deeds? Just seems to me that $7 million is not that much.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either. Another question, Kelly. I've got to bring this up right now. It's concerning me because I think they're being brought in here to suck the system dry for entitlements.
Who?
I've got four people sitting here, and they just moved in the last couple of 3 months, okay? And all three of them have serious problems, and they're all from out of town. They all, I think, came from that community of hope. Now, I don't have anything against the community of hope or the rescue mission. I don't. But they are being told by somebody, somewhere, that they can come here, stay here, and get all the benefits they want, and they are doing it.
Huh.
Housing, all the benefits, all of them. They are they stay here, and we'll get you all hooked up. You know that I've been sick. I couldn't get one dime, and I've paid into that system since 1983. I'm really upset with this. I think it's time for us to stand up and say something, people. And I'm on Facebook now. I got the only one I raised eyebrows about yesterday was Bill McCamley. I got his attention. But I'm telling you, I know a lot of people here, and they are sleeping, sleeping.
How did you get Bill McCamley's attention?
I brought up the zombie apocalypse.
Now, that's
he's a zombie.
That smoked him out. All right,
didn't you see him in the bulletin? He was dressed as a zombie.
That's probably his daily attire at home. When he's not, it's the agenda. All right, Patty. Patty, we got to go. Thanks a lot. Anything else?
That's it.
Okay, thanks a lot. Have a good day. All right, folks. In extreme appreciation for what Bill McCamley has done, including creating it's a new area of commerce for us. It's the exporting of wild Chihuahua meat. A little Chopin, if you don't mind, in the morning. Thanks, Bill. We really appreciate it. Exporting our beloved Chihuahuas to North Korea. Folks, we'll be right back. Kelly O'Connor.
One-hour LLC, license number 380200. Since 2010...
Just think how much money he's going to have to pay for all those Chihuahuas. Then he's going to make it big.
It's Kelly here at 6:50. And so anyway, we got a lot going on in the city, and the claims of mismanagement and a misrepresentation of what the average person here wants, socialism, Marx, some people claiming Marxism. It's extraordinary days. And so the average person is going to say, Jeff, I've got Jeff Esbell here, who ran the whole thing, is running the whole recall. They're maybe 500 votes short or 500 signatures short. What difference does it make who's in office? I'll ask you that again. Why should anybody pay attention?
Well, because the person in office directly relates to how much money you get to keep in your pocket at the end of the day. Whether it's a conservative, whether it's a progressive, that person – positions, whether they're raising taxes for this or for that or on their tax and spend frenzy, it directly relates to how much money you keep in your pocket. Bottom line is, if you want to keep more money in your pocket at the end of the day, we need to stand against this recall. I mean, we need to stand against these city councilors, support the recall, say yes to the recall, so that way we can move forward and get representation that is true representation to Las Cruces, who will represent the average person and not the average special interest group.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for it. But so what are you guys doing to push back against the city's interpretation of the signatures?
We are planning to go out and collect more signatures right now. If you're interested in signing the next petition, we have 15 days to make a decision, then 15 days to go out and collect signatures. You can give us a call at 575-201-3084. 575-201-3084 or lcrecall.com. Right now, we need to know if there's enough interest out there for us to move forward. We believe there is, and we're laying the groundwork to do that thing.
Uh-huh. All right. So what can the average person do to help?
So we need help going door-to-door. Whether if you'll take a petition sheet with you, a circulator's affidavit, say, yes, I'm going door to door. I'm not getting these signatures fraudulently. I'm talking to my neighbors about why we need to change the city of Las Cruces. And we can start with these three city councilors, your own city councilor. You go door to door. Help us get signatures. Gilstorg, we need less than 100 signatures. And we have 15 days to collect those 100 signatures in. We have lots of time, but we need your help. This is far from over. We're willing to do all we can. We're just asking a few citizens to join us.
And what is your contact information?
575-201-3084. 575-201-3084. LCRecall.com. Taking back our city starts right now through this effort.
All right. So, Jeff, I want to thank you for coming on. And what do you think your chances are in this whole thing?
Well, Kelly, we're going to go out and we're going to collect as many signatures as we can, and we believe that our message resonates with the people. That's why we collected so many signatures so far, and we'll go out and collect even more. We knew this was going to be difficult. We needed to collect nearly 2,800 signatures in half the city. For CAFE to be successful, they needed to collect about 2,200 signatures. We've already had more signatures validated than they have, but they had the whole city to work with. So we know that this was a tough process moving forward. But at this point, we just need a few citizens who will join us to go out and collect signatures to convince your neighbors that this is the right thing to do. I think there's a lot of apprehension to put your name to a piece of paper to say, yes, I want to recall my city councilor. But it's time to move past that because we're paying too much. We deserve better. We deserve true representation.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for coming on, Jeff. We appreciate your efforts.
Thanks again, Kelly, for having me.
Absolutely. We've got a little more news for you. Obamacare premiums are set to skyrocket again, getting more and more expensive. In the meanwhile, Patty Riley called up to complain about people moving into the city and immediately getting on benefits. And is that the type of thing that Billy Garrett and his group are really behind? There's a story here. Amnesty to illegals will soon collect Social Security benefits. And this is from the National Review. But so you bring people in to the country, or they come into the country, and they're here illegally. They get amnesty, and then they immediately move into Social Security. Is that a good idea? Starting in 2017, the Social Security Administration expects thousands of undocumented immigrants to begin collecting from the Old Age Survivors and Disability Insurance, OASDI, program as a direct result of the president's actions. And so this has gotten a little bit of a reaction from the Republicans, of course, and Ron Johnson, who's the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee chairman, is not happy with that. Wow, this is so interesting, because this was the kind of thing that was claimed years ago when they talked about amnesty. And of course, the supporters of amnesty had said that it was had nothing to do with it, that it had nothing to do with their plans there. In this related matter, Obamacare's premium spiking, the original claim that Obamacare, the Affordable Health Care Act, the very name of Obamacare, or the original name, the Affordable Health Care Act, is proved to be, even the name is mistaken. Customers to Obamacare are going to see a spike in their premiums, according to the CBO. Now, the CBO is the Congressional Budget Office. They said that yesterday, it's claiming that insurers offering plans are facing pressure from the government and marketplace, meaning hikes of at least 8% a year, almost double-digit increase in costs through 2018. And in the second year of operation, the exchanges are using tax subsidies to attract more customers to help offset costs. That issue, tax subsidies, is in front of the Supreme Court right now. Nearly 11.7, almost 12 million Americans bought health insurance in the exchange in the second enrollment to HHSS Secretary Sylvia Matthew Burwell. But the premiums are, which have a benchmark in them, will rise an average of 8.5% per year from 2016 to 2018. So you could get at least 25% increase in the cost, which is pretty amazing. Well, we'll take you out here with some San Antonio Rose. Kelly O'Connell, thanks for tuning in. And we do appreciate Jeff Isbell coming on, and we'll be back. And I'm going to have Steve Pierce come on at the break of, about 7:30 he'll be coming in. And 523-1450 to call in. We'll be right back at 6:59 on KOB, Kelly O'Connell Show.
Within my heart lies a melody, a song of old San Antonio, where in dreams I live with a memory, beneath the stars all
along.
It was there I found Sally Alamo, in
the
blue.
It's Kelly here. Good morning, 7:06, and on KOBE, and on the 10th day of March, and we have Bob Endlich in the studio, and Bob comes in occasionally to spread his knowledge about the environment, the climate, and such. And Bob, good morning to you. How you doing? Staying warm there?
It's a beautiful day in New Mexico, isn't it?
Sure is. It's nice and toasty. I noticed in Cape Cod they've got icebergs washing up on the shore. What's going on there?
Well, what's happening is that for the second year in a row, we've had this huge trough in the upper atmosphere settle over the eastern part of the United States. And what that does You know, if you looked at TV weather, you see the jet stream chart that brings air straight over the North Pole and into the northern and eastern part of the United States. And that setup, like I said, is the second time in a row that that's happened, 2 years in a row, and that polar night vortex settles over the east. And Boston is within a couple of inches of setting an all-time record for snowfall. So the situation sets up, and that's why Cape Cod is so cold.
So, but I mean, the ice is coming in, and I mean, it extraordinary winter in the Northeast.
That's true, and that cold spreads across the country. As a matter of fact, the Great Lakes right now have the largest amount of ice for this time of year, anytime within the satellite record. We have a number of ways of keeping track of the ice in the Great Lakes, but the satellites are the best way. And we are now at a record amount of ice in the Great Lakes. So this notion that we have catastrophic warming ongoing is just these measurements are another indication of the great fraud that is being perpetrated by people who believe in this, that this notion of catastrophic CO2-fueled global warming.
Well, they've gotten rid of global warming because of, you know, incidents like this. You see that they've got so many weather changes up and down, cold and such. So climate change. As they describe climate change, what does it mean?
Well, they're saying that the addition of carbon dioxide to the atmosphere is causing greenhouse warming, and that greenhouse warming is changing the climate in catastrophic ways. Now, there's no doubt that we are increasing the amount of carbon dioxide in the air, but it's a trace gas. It's only about 395 to 400 parts per million right now. It varies a little bit because of the uptake of carbon dioxide by plants during the growing season.
All right, so what do people need to know about this?
Well, what they need to know is that even though carbon dioxide is a greenhouse gas, the warming effect is so small that it's lost in the natural variability. As a matter of fact, the alarmists note the increase in temperature from like 1976 to 1998, but that's part of what we call the normal Pacific Decadal Oscillation. We have a 30-year of warm and 30-year cold, and if you go back 60 years, there was a drought in New Mexico, and people are now saying, hey, you know, we've had like 4 or 5 years in a row of drought. Well, we've just returned to what we call the Pacific Decadal Oscillation cold phase. And in the cold phase, there's less water in the atmosphere. And so places in the West go into drought when that happens.
Well, you know, a lot of people are going to listen to this and say, Bob, that what you're suggesting is too nuanced. It's too complicated. Everybody knows that all of these events are being caused by global warming, by carbon poisoning in the atmosphere. What's your response to that?
Well, carbon dioxide is a perfectly natural trace gas in the atmosphere. We've had in the geologic past as many as 7,000 or 8,000 parts per million. So right now we are in a minimum about 7,000 or 8,000 parts per million. Was back in the Cambrian when that's 500 or 600 million years ago, when trilobites and oysters propagated throughout the oceans of the Earth. So there's no doubt that carbon dioxide is a naturally occurring gas, and it is the source of all the carbohydrates that we eat. It is plant food.
All right. So, you know, when I just think that people are going to what, you know, you see are hurricanes, you see droughts, you see these cold events back east. All of this stuff is being fed into the machinery of explanation that it's all related to global warming or climate change. What, as a trained individual who spent many years working as a climatologist or a weather guy and doing it with the military, where you have to be a very precise, what do you hear when you hear very complex things boiled down to just one cause?
The reason that the military took a year to train me and my brother students in the basic meteorology more than 50 years ago is that it takes a while to understand the various components of the atmosphere. It's a very complex subject because it's a complex fluid, and so you have to understand and know thermodynamics. You have to know and understand radiation physics. You have to understand the different behavior of different levels of the atmosphere. You have to understand the codes. You have to understand the way the measurements are made. It is quite involved, and that's why it takes a while to train up to understand this stuff. And I don't expect that everyone would have that knowledge. But there's another component to it, Kelly, and that is the fact that we are grown-ups, at least we hope we're grown-ups, and the way that we analyze these things is to write things down in a systematic way and to be able to analyze that. And that's the reason we have all the weather records that the climatologists can go back to and use. And when you do that, and that's what I do, you find out that that there is nothing abnormal about the current climate.
Well, if, for example, I heard somebody say, one of these experts say, you know, the drought in California right now, which is extreme, is not related to global warming. And people don't have any way to understand that because they've been told, Bob, for decades that everything bad happening in the environment is related to global warming.
Well, I talked about the fact that the weather records are written down. And as a matter of fact, if you go to the National Climatic Data Center, they have a page called Climate at a Glance, CAG. And if you go and to that page and put in the rainfall for California, we have over 100 years of data. And you can look at the data, and I have looked at the data, and you can see that there were many times the drought was much more severe than it is right now within the instrumental record. So their claims that that this is somehow new or more severe than it's ever been before are proven incorrect if you look at the data, and the data is in that climate at a glance page.
Bob, people see the hockey stick graph that, you know, the weather has been static, the climate has been static for the history of mankind until recently the Industrial Revolution, and now we're boiling ourselves to death. Your response to that?
My response to that is that chart is undertaken by
Michael Mann.
Principal author was Michael Mann. He's now at Penn State in the department where I did my graduate work 45 years ago. They did the math. He did the math. There are, when you do these analyses, you will see that there's a pattern. And the pattern that he shows and says that this is the warmest in 1,000 years is shown to be incorrect if you look at other data. He was using bristlecone pines. We can look at the ice core data, and the ice core data clearly contradict the data that Michael Mann has. There was a medieval warm period, and there are ways of snaking out things like the sea level. We know, for instance, that the sea level was higher than today back 1,000 years ago. So, and we also know that 1,000 years ago was the medieval warm period, and that was the time of the great cathedral buildings, building period in Europe. So if you happen to be fortunate enough to go to Europe, and you see the Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris, or if you see the other monuments of the past, those were built in the medieval warm period. It was warmer then, it was richer then, and we had a much better climate then than we do now. It was even warmer than it is now.
Okay, we're going to come back, folks, and talk to Bob Endlich a little bit more on this. We got Steve Pierce coming in live at 7:30, I think. So we're going to have to squeeze what we can out of Bob in this next segment. And here's Bob Wills, speaking of Bob's, in his Texas Playboy Stay a Little Longer, one of the classics in the history of country music. And Bob Wills had a big band. He played the fiddle, and I guess he hooped a lot. He did a lot of these calls. And we'll be right back. It is 7:17, Kelly O'Connell Show, 523-1450 on KOBE. And today is the 10th, and it's pretty warm outside. It's a little bit under 50. We'll be right back.
See my blue-eyed Sally, she lives away down on Shinbone Alley. The number on the gate, the number on the door, and the next house over is the grocery store. Stay all night, stay a little longer, dance all night, dance a little longer. Pull out the coat, throw it in the corner, don't see why you don't stay a little longer.
Pierce here, and as always, a welcome guest. All right, Bob, just to sum up, what do people need to know from this week's report on climate, et cetera?
Well, there's nothing unusual about the present climate. It's been warmer. It's been colder. It is always an unchanging series of events. We have the extremes occur rarely, and mm-hmm. we have... the normal that things tend to return to.
Okay.
And the climate is always changing, and there's no indication from any of the data that anything we are having right now is in any way abnormal or other than what we've had in the past.
Okay, and so, we can prove that through the science.
Absolutely, there's no doubt about it.
All right, so when are you coming back on again?
Well, probably in a couple of weeks.
All right
with you.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure to have you. Thanks for coming on. Steve, welcome.
Hey, thanks. Nice to be here.
It's always fantastic.
Beautiful days. We left that climate change up in Washington. Holy mackerel. The snow this year has been horrendous in D.C. 16, 12 degrees. It's and so
Congressman Steve, you'll remember that it wasn't too long ago when people in the Washington establishment like Robert Kennedy says snow is a thing of the past.
Oh, I know.
And all you need is a snowmageddon or a winter like last year, this year, to just prove the point that these people don't know what they're talking about.
And plus all the predictions that we're going to have them by 2000. I think it was 10. Al Gore had all the predictions that we're going to have flooding, and we're going to have this, we're going to have that. They've had to revise those, so now it's some time out into the future. But anyway, it's good to hear you out here talking about things like that. These discussions need to be happening on Main Street. Not just in Washington. In Washington, they get agenda driven. Out here, people recognize what's really going on.
That's true, Steve. Good to see you again.
Yeah, nice to see you too.
All right, so Steve, let me ask you this: what's the most sensational or pressing stuff going on right now in your world?
Well, I don't know if it's any sensational. Just kind of doing the work of the country. Of course, they had more votes in the Senate on the Keystone Pipeline than they had all of last year, and so. The system is actually starting to work. You can like it, you can dislike it, but at least that Keystone bill went through. Got a couple of Democrat amendments that I didn't like at all. But to tell you the truth, that's the process. It came back over to the House. We didn't even debate it. We just sent it on to the president. He vetoed it. But he's now having to make decisions. You know, the real game that Harry Reid played for 6 years is to protect the president from having to really veto anything. So just really simple stuff, the things that absolutely had to get done, got it through the president's desk, everything else stacked up in the Senate. So at least the Senate is working. It was working until the Democrats decided they didn't want to debate the whole issue of whether or not the president had the right to do what he did with the immigration. That was a constitutional question that I think that Americans expect us to go up there and discuss and tug back and forth and come to resolution. But instead, Harry Reid was able to block that from even being debated on the Senate floor. So anyway, pretty typical stuff. I've got my Native American housing bill again, very bipartisan bill.
Could you explain the details of that?
Yeah. Basically, we reform HUD programs that were really obscure but causing the system to break down. And then Then we also went into some of the tribes and said, hey, your system's not working very well, and began to put limitations on them. And the idea is to start cleaning the process up. But then the exciting thing is we put a pilot program on there which will encourage home ownership on reservations in a way that's never been. You know, the Indians been living on reservations for, you know, over 100 years, and still no prosperity on most of them. And so this home ownership is the beginning to prosperity. That's how my family got out of deep poverty. And so I think that that it's scheduled to come to the floor on the 17th. Maxine Waters has been fighting me on the committee. I said, what are you fighting against Native American housing for? Anyway, she finally said the other day she's going to speak against it, but she will not push for a vote even. So it may go off the House floor with just a voice vote. And Mitch McConnell is almost desperate for something that's bipartisan. And this is deeply bipartisan from the House side. I've got as many Democrats co-sponsoring as Republicans. So the president's been looking for something he can sign that's pretty bipartisan. So it's actually turning into being kind of the right thing at the right time, at the right place. And so anyway, we'll see. But the first test will be the 17th, I think, this when we get back into D.C.
That's well done. Okay, I got to shift over a little bit internationally, because I know we're going to, in the midst of talking about Hillary's emails, we're going to not mention ISIS is threatening to bomb Italy from Libya. Now the EU is talking about putting a force together. You're an old combat pilot. What do we need to do? ISIS is growing. It's metastasizing. It's like a giant tumor. It's getting stronger. Now it's got Boko Haram to agree to support it. It is taking on speed like nothing I've ever seen.
Well, number one, we can choke off the funding, and we had some of the people in charge of that sitting in front of us in committee. And so I said, you know, if you really want to stop the funding of the ISIS, you could do that today. And he got real blustery. And I said, you don't want to do it. That's your deal. And they got me even more blustery. I said, you're worrying about which shadow corporations are taking this oil and putting it into illegal refineries and all that stuff. I said, all you got to do is bomb the terminal where they load the oil. I said, every oil field has tanks. Those tanks hold the oil, and they have to be, it has to be downloaded by a truck or a tanker. And you just bomb that one valve is all you have to do. I said, you can see it from the air. You can send in one of those drones that doesn't have to hit anybody. You can wait till the trucks are parked outside the gate, strike it, and then you don't have to worry about all the shadow corporations. There, all that stuff is just smoke and mirrors where they don't actually have to do that. Don't know exactly why they don't want to disrupt the funding, but we could stop it. So that's the most critical thing. The 9/11 bombers had only about $100,000 to carry out 9/11. These guys have $1 million a day coming in from oil.
Jeez, they're billionaires.
Yes. And so choke off the funding first.
What can you buy with $1 billion if you're a terrorist?
Oh, you can buy almost anything you want. You can get shoulder-launched missiles. You can get RPGs. There are many of the nuclear warheads that went missing from the Soviet Union, so nobody knows where those are. I suspect you can get some of those.
Even one of those is a game changer.
Yeah. You don't even have to have the triggering mechanism. That's the whole concept of the dirty bomb. Just strap it on somebody's back. They come in and let it start oozing its payload out. Just
what if they tried to blow up the Vatican? They said a couple of things are going to kill the Pope, and number two, they're going to throw gay people off the tower. Leaning Tower of Pizza. They actually spelled it P-I-Z-Z-A.
Okay.
Maybe we could educate these people. Maybe half of them leave.
I hadn't worked in 1,000 years. I don't know how we could educate them now. We can't even get the kids graduating from our schools over here. So I won't leave off the education piece, please. That's just one more bureaucracy waiting to spring up. Boy, you got on slippery slope there.
That's pretty... Maybe we can test Common Core on those guys.
Yeah, no child left behind. No terrorists left behind, I know.
All right, so you've got this crazy situation where it turns out that Hillary Clinton bought her own server. It was in the same city as she lived in New York, upstate New York. It was in her house, apparently. She owns all of her own data from email, but she's 100% cooperating. And the president, by the way, didn't realize that he was getting email from a non-government account from one of his cabinet members.
Never took a look at it. Never hit that expand button up there at the top where you can see who it's actually coming from, what their address is. So these people are amazing. He also just learned about that in the news reports when we did. I get so laughing. If the man would attend his daily briefings, maybe they would brief him about that.
Well,
this is incredible. This is the leader of the free world.
Steve, ESPN has daily briefings that are also very important.
Well, that's true too. You know, and we gotta get those golf games in too. So I don't know. It's pathetic, really, when you take a look at it.
It's incredible to say that he's pulling this common man approach. I don't have any more access to information than you do sitting at home drinking a beer.
That's a ridiculous assertion and one that he should be run out of office for if it's actually true. If the man is president of the United States and doesn't have access to this stuff, if people are not coming in daily telling him the stir of events nationwide, and he's used that excuse many, many times. I found out about the Fast and Furious the same way y'all did. And so, anyway, I don't know. It's really a strange time to be in government when nobody's responsible for anything except George Bush. This gets funny.
Right.
George Bush is responsible for everything. He's responsible for global warming, terrorists, World War II, responsible for the medieval torture.
Maybe he's the puppet master they talk about.
I guess. I don't know.
He's for being a dumb cowboy, he's pretty smart. He's still controlling things from afar.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So do you think Hillary done? I mean, she's like,
she should be. Yeah. I just think that, number one, her performance in the whole Benghazi thing was deeply suspect. We left those people sitting there to die. I mean, hours and hours they were there needing help. We had gunships that could have been in there in a couple of hours, had drones in the area, and we could have done something to save them. And then later she says, why does it matter if they're dead? Well, I mean, that's not what you want to hear the leader of the free world saying.
Yeah.
Sending soldiers into combat. Well, they all died. What's the matter now? So I think that people are going to be rejecting her. And she's playing this whole thing with the emails really badly because even the mainstream press, now the liberal press, is picking it up and saying, something's got to be done here. What's going on? And as they echo that, the echoes get louder and longer. And the closer she moves to 2016, the more it will be a campaign issue. So I just think she's playing this really badly, which is not untypical.
Yeah.
She played the whole healthcare debacle very badly back under Bill Clinton. The whole Whitewater thing was really handled badly, and they just obscured that. So
she has a tin ear.
Yes, yeah. She's in baseball. He sat there and used to harass people from the bench, and you could tell the ones head would jerk around as soon as you call him some low down name. So she can she keeps hearing everything that's said. And so anyway, I think you're right on the 10 here.
All right, so what to you are the big issues coming up on the radar screen now? What are,
well, we're trying to get about? We're starting the funding process. The budget process is next up for us, and of course the budget process needs to be in place before we start the appropriating process, because they kind of are linked together in a kind of a legal sense. So we're trying to get all 12 appropriation bills across the House floor and send them to the Senate, see if they can at least take them up. At some point, the Senate needs to deal with the fact that they just are non-functional. The rules have been learned so deeply, and they're being abused by both sides, frankly, that it's just hard for them to do anything. We passed the Keystone Pipeline bill in maybe 2 hours of debate. I mean, and everything that could be said was said during those 2 hours. They took, I think, 3 weeks on the same debate. In other words, they have unlimited time to go up and present amendments. And so as long as people want to keep dragging it out, they can. But at least the system's open. McConnell is open for business, and he's talking about it, trying to push things to the floor. I just think he's a little immobilized by the rules, and if they need to change the rules, they've been changed before.
Well, the inside baseball view of Boehner and McConnell. I mean, how does the party in office feel?
Well, the 167 votes against Boehner on this whole funding for the DHS, and that's a huge problem for him. I don't know if you'd have to be really watching closely, but we were scheduled to be in all the way through Thursday and then come home Friday this last week, and they announced from the leader's office that we're going to have a snow day after that vote. Of course, anytime you have this great split with people walking away from the speaker's position, then grumbling start. And so I think the thought was, get us on out of town for the snow day. I mean, we haven't had many snow days called before, so I don't know. I don't know where it's going. I was hopeful as we started the year that that he was going to fuck up. You've seen him. I mean, he was getting really harsh comments about not presenting our viewpoints on the press. And so right after our retreat, he was on 60 Minutes. So he's out to his credit trying to be there. But I just think he's uncomfortable pushing the conservative point of view, frankly. And that's causing, again, people to kind of grumble behind the scenes. It's not just like any church or anything else. They're all political and people are grumbling and, you know, kicking around all the time. But I don't know where this is going to go. Frankly, I hope that he, you know, develops the leg strength and gets in here and starts leading. That's what the country needs.
Absolutely. Personal goals that you have for the House, some of the stuff you'd like to see that you think is important to constituents.
Well, we're still continuing to try to affect the regulations, whether it be Forest Service or CFPB or whatever. So if a person were to go on and take a look at last week's hearing with Mr. Cordray, Director Cordray of CFPB, and these things, I know people don't really know what they are, but they're the ones who are putting in regulations that are choking off your ability to get a loan at a local bank. So if you are out there, if you've got friends out there who have been able to get loans to buy a house and they've got good credit rating, that goes all the way back to Mr. Cordray and some of the rules. So for the last 3 years, we've been roughing him up pretty hard in committee. And so just this year, they announced that they're going to roll back the rules on small rural banks. Rural banks are being treated the same way as banks in New York City. So my point was always, let me get this right. So you got one person one person per 24 square miles in Luna County, maybe, and you got 100,000 per square mile in New York City, and you're treating those banks the same. I said, that just doesn't make sense.
Are they trying? There, it seems to me, my dad was in the banking industry for a while. They're trying to get rid of small banks.
Trying to get rid of small banks.
Why?
Well, again, if you recall, I say always that the fight is never Democrat Republican. It is once in a while. Mostly it's big versus small. So if the big banks, Wall Street, can get rid of small banks, then that money moves up the ladder somewhere.
Yeah.
In other words, they may not want to come in and run a bank in Luna County, but somebody higher than Luna County would be running it. And so that consolidates the wealth and the power a little bit higher. Luna County member may never do anything with Wall Street, but the next level up might. And they take over the banking system. So I think that it's that's not all deal just to get rid of the small in any part of the
system. That's scary because it's small banks that know the community.
That is the reason I fight so hard on issues like this. We're also fighting the Forest Service. Again, they're taking away the contracts on the fires. Used to 80% of the fires that were fought, the costs were paid to local vendors. Now then 80% goes to big out-of-state vendors. So one of the fires, they brought in a contractor from Oregon just to rent a copy machine. So, and they paid them to drive it down here and paid them to drive it back. Now, where's the economic sense in that? But what it's doing is moving those contract dollars up the chain somewhere to bigger outfits, work in the bigger cities. So again, it's big versus small, kind of playing out everywhere.
It's crazy.
It is crazy because New Mexico is going to get killed.
What's our time frame today?
I think we're here till 8.
Okay, can we take a brief break?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking to Steve Pierce. Steve, it's so great to see you. And
nice
I got a call last night. If we had any time today, I said I'll clear the decks for you.
All right, thanks.
Always great to have you in. Folks, 523-1450, if you have any statements or questions for Steve, he's always game. You're pretty good on your feet, I've noticed.
I don't know. I just work at trying to know what I'm talking about, know what the issues are.
folks, we'll be right back at 7:39. We do have a call, but we'll come back to that in just a minute. Hey, it's Kelly.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, what's up?
I just wanted to ask the congressman a couple of questions.
Did you want to mention what they were?
Do you want me to tell you what they are and then you ask them?
Well, tell us, and then we'll have a minute to think about it, and then we'll be back on the air in just a minute.
Okay, yeah. First, I wanted to congratulate him on his DHS bill, pretty brave. And then ask him, please, about what are they going to do to reverse the Todd Frank bill if they're any plans to reverse that, and what pressure he can bring to the governor to help her, you know, educate her or change her mind on not fighting Obama's amnesty bill or amnesty, whatever the hell it was he signed.
All right. So we'll take those on the air. Okay. I'll just put you on hold for a minute.
Okay.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks, Bob. Okay. Thanks. Tom and I got it. Well, we were just tearing the fat up on the topic. I mean, to have the server in your house, that's so incredible. That's incredible. Folks, Kelly here. I've got Steve Pierce right next to me, and we got a crowded house this morning. I've got Rob. Rob, you had a couple of questions or statements for Steve, and your first one was a congratulations.
Yeah, I was wanting to congratulate the congressman on his vote for against the DHS funding there last week. That was pretty brave what the other congressman did.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Might call the Las Cruces Sun News and tell them that. They took exception to the vote.
There goes,
well, that's
the
El Paso Sun News now, isn't it?
And what was your second point?
So is Congress planning to do anything to reverse Todd Frank?
Well, that that whole CFPB was just talking about with Kelly is a part of the Dodd-Frank. And so, yes, Chairman Hensling in the committee that I sit on is absolutely trying to do away with the pieces that are choking down the whole economy. You know, it's access to capital, being able to borrow money, whether you borrow money for a house or a business or whatever. That's the basis of our economy, having a healthy economy that creates jobs. And they're choking it down in the rural areas. It's just amazing what's going on. But you're pretty knowledgeable if you're asking about Dodd-Frank. So I congratulate you on that.
That chokes it down because the banks are now allowed to invest that money in Wall Street and not put it out on loans.
Yeah, that's what's happening. And so plus another thing that is happening right now is that the Federal Reserve has moved the interest rate down to zero, so Wall Street gets money free. But what's happening is that seniors don't get anything for their money in the bank. Zero interest rate means you get 0.25% for your savings. And so seniors tell me we lived our life right. We put money in the bank. We paid for our house. Now in 2008 made the house worth half what it was. And our money in the bank doesn't draw anything. So one of my points constantly to whether it's Secretary Liu, who's coming in to see us in a couple of weeks, or people like Cordray, is that your Dodd-Frank policies are forcing seniors into very risky investments. And when you get to be a senior, what you don't want to do is risky. If you're 30, you can do risk. And if it fails, then you can come back. As seniors, you can't go back to work, and you lose your nest egg, then you're finished. And so forcing seniors into risky investments is one of the most horrific things that has happened that the Federal Reserve is pushing. So, again, a compliment on your knowledge of the issues.
Rob, anything else?
One more thing. I know that he has no direct relationship with our governor, probably, but then again, none of us down here seem to either. What can he do to bring some pressure or help educate her to go against Obama's amnesty instead of for it, like she seems to be doing?
Well, it's that's a curious position that is coming out of Santa Fe. Frankly, all we can do is demonstrate by our votes kind of what the pathway is. I mean, all three branches of government and the federal side now say it's wrong. The president said it was wrong 22 different times. The House has said it's wrong, and now then the courts have said it wrong. So at some point, you have to understand that it is wrong. And then the second thing is you have to have the courage to speak up. And I think there are, 26 states that have some sort of a lawsuit against it because they know that they're going to be the ones to get the pressure. You saw that back when the people were coming in from Central America last summer. It was the local Democrats who are saying, you can't put those people in my town. You can't put them in my state because you're going to get them over here, and the federal government's going to mandate that we house them, that we give them health and coverage, and they're not going to pay for it, so the state's going to have to pay for it.
Yeah, it seems like this country is shooting itself in the foot at every chance it gets.
Yeah, it's not the foot it's hitting.
Yeah.
It's a lot higher.
Yeah.
Keep up the good work, sir. Thank you.
Thanks,
all right,
Rob.
Thanks.
Folks, with Steve and Steve Pierce and a U.S. representative from our district, we'll take a break here and be right back. Kelly O'Connell Show, 523-1450 to call in.
The 5th Annual Las Cruces Arts Fair.
Good morning, folks. 7:50, almost 7:51. I got Steve Pierce here, 523-1450. And so I've asked you a couple of questions off the air. For instance, everybody wants to know, McConnell, Boehner, who's more liberal? Are they liberal? Are they conservative? People can't read these individuals. Maybe you don't know.
Yeah, I asked the speaker many times, why will you not do this? And he just walks away. I mean, you just, in the position of leadership, your job is to get 218 votes on the House floor. In the Senate, you got to get 60 votes to get it to the floor, and then you got to have 51 to pass it. So that's they get totally focused on that. And of course, they may have internal leanings. Right now, there's some grousing that that going up to the vote on DHS, that all the releases from the speaker were nothing about the DHS and the whole constitutional question. But instead, he was talking about the education bill is coming up later in the year, and this is coming up. And so the attention was never right there to put the pressure on the Senate. And so you don't know if that's to keep pressure off of the Republican, but he really never put pressure on Reid either. And that's what, again, these things, people watch them for a while, they get a little frustrated, and then they start, you know, talking louder and pushing. And so it's, right now, things are not disrupted in our team, but definitely there are stresses.
All right, and I got to ask this just out of curiosity, perhaps perverse interest. Who smokes more, Boehner or Obama?
Yeah, I don't know. We need to have a Great American Smoke-Off. You know, put them in a smoke-filled room and get them started. I just know that when I'm in there speaking to the speaker, he lights up right there in the Capitol where it's against the...
Does he mix his own martinis?
I don't know. I don't know about that. I was telling a group, I told the legislature when I spoke in front of him in Santa Fe, you know, that he was threatened with that death threat, you know, bartender at his country club. I said, you know, what kind of a country is it when a Republican is not safe in his own country club?
That's pretty good. Anyway. That's pretty good. You called in the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning. This is Bob.
Bob, how's it going? Got Steve Pierce here.
Going good. I would just like to know, is there ever going to be any hope of getting rid of baseline budgeting, or at least if you keep the baseline budgeting, reduce their budget every year instead of increase it?
Well, we actually have done that in the discretionary spending. Some of our agencies are back to 2008 funding levels. IRS is one of them. And so, so we're doing it to an extent. With the entitlement program, it's a far more difficult process to cut them back, but we have reduced the growth in some of those. You seem very knowledgeable about the process, so you might be interested that we changed the whole dynamic scoring question. In the past, if you put tax cuts in, you could not calculate the increase in the economy. When you cut taxes, the economy grows, but you couldn't calculate that, so it always gave a worse picture anytime you wanted to improve the tax situation for the American people. On paper, it looked bad, and we are bound by those rules, and so we've put in that dynamic scoring saying that that if you lower taxes, you can calculate the amount the economy will increase, and that is going to push taxes up instead of down. And so that's a kind of a inside the park deal, but it's going to be it will be important as we try to figure our way forward in this mess of the budget that's out of control.
Well, great, because I would love to see some of these, the more intrusive agencies cut way back.
Yeah, EPA is back, I think, to 2008 levels, too. And so, again, it doesn't show up a lot. It'll take quite a long time because I think these agencies have so much fat in them. I think they could be trimming fat and still do the same invasive things for a long period of time. But the Americans are getting pretty frustrated with a system that's choking off job growth. People are pretty alarmed that they feel like prosperity maybe has gone for the country, and they just want some sign that good sense is going to prevail. So this idea of shutting down coal-fired power plants is one that sounds good on paper, but coal provides half of our energy. That's going to cost us jobs, going to drive the price of electricity up in your home. And so people are starting to kind of connect the dots and what all this means.
Bob, we're running short on time. Appreciate the call. Have a good day. All right. So, Steve, just a couple of minutes left here, but how can people, how can listeners who have an interest in the movement of the conservatives, how can they help out with your
Yeah, the most important thing, and it sounds too simplistic, and so people want to reject it, but the most important thing is be talking publicly. First of all, get to know the issue enough to talk about it. And I don't mean you don't have to have a PhD level of economics, but just start talking about the interference from Washington. Start talking about whether or not what Obama did was right or wrong. And as we talk, we begin to convince our neighbors that it's not just a thing coming out of one party or the other. And so this whole idea that we have tremendous power, we just have to speak those words. The word mm-hmm. is truth. And so that is very powerful stuff. It starts some movements of thought across the country. And Washington Daily is polling, and those many people in Washington are going by the polls.
Yeah, and just hearing that is kind of comforting, because one person telling the truth can wipe out a lot of ignorance and encourage everybody. People want to know about Obamacare. I just got a text. Is there any chance that it'll be thrown out?
I think that there's a tremendous chance it'll be thrown out. The big question is, are we as Republicans going to be ready to step into the gap? Many Americans are getting subsidies right now, and if those and that decision is coming out in June, if that decision is that they can't continue the subsidies, it's going to put a lot of pain in people's pocketbooks, and they're going to be screaming for an answer. And the question is, will we as Republicans have our replacement in place, or are we going to just knee-jerk in and go ahead and make it where it's legal? I mean, we could have a one-sentence fix to the bill saying it's okay right now.
We don't want that.
We don't want that. Again, these are some of the pressures that are forming on our leadership. Where are we going, and what are you going to do on this issue? And so you can watch from a distance and know that that's probably the highest pressure point that's building in Washington right now in leadership.
And we're almost out of time, but, I mean, the idea that you have to accept things that were done the wrong way and just to learn to live with it, the Republicans have done that for so long. We need a champion to stand up against the bully.
We do, and I think that's what all Americans, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, are looking for, that bold, courageous voice that sees a new way forward.
Thanks for coming on the show.
All right, happy to do it.
When can we get you back?
I don't know. That's always up to staff. I'm happy to come any day. You know me. I like to talk about it.
Yeah, well, it's always great to hang out with you, and your plan for educating ISIS?
Oh, yeah, well, I think that the King of Jordan had it right. We're going to go bomb them.
That's going to be right. The first lesson.
Yeah, the first lesson will be you'll see the house crumbling around you.
wait, if we could at least get them to realize it's that Leaning Tower of Pisa, not pizza.
There we go.
That would be. Thanks for coming on, Steve.
Hey, thanks. Good to see you.
Yeah, you too. Have a great day, folks. Been listening to Steve Pierce, and he was kind enough to take a little time off his schedule to stop by the studio. And appreciate the calls. I'm going to take you out with some Bob Wills and his Texas Playboys. Stay a little longer. We'll meet you back in 22 hours. Kelly O'Connell Show, KOBE, at 7:59. Ciao.
And the big creek level, to plow my corn with the double shovel. Stay all night, stay a little longer, dance all night, dance a little longer. Pull off the clothes, throw it in the corner. Don't say you might not stay a little longer. Window, singing to my love, and the slop bucket fell from the window above. Mule and the grasshopper eating ice cream, and the mule got sick, and the lady moaned.